Hey Gabbers, welcome to another episode to Girls Be Gabbin. This is Christine.
This is Alyssa.
So what have you been up to this week, Alyssa?
Well, I've been up to just doing my normal routine, just working and taking in this beautiful weather. We've been having some beautiful days here in NOLA, so that's what I've been taking in.
I know. Oh my God, the sun has been so great. So great. Been enjoying it too.
I had some crawfish this weekend past. Hadn't had that. That was my first time having it for the season. So I was excited, very excited.
Were they good?
Yeah, they were really good. Really, really good. I want some more, actually.
It's that time of year. That time of year.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Here in NOLA.
Oh, yeah. My sister this weekend had come over, and she was helping my mom do, like, they were putting a pond in the backyard. And you've met my mom. She is, like, such a hippie. She burned her bra years ago, okay? So I'm going to backtrack and tell you that I had given my sister this Michael Kors purse about a year ago. But you know how, like, they come sometimes, like, with the two handles, but then they have, like, a strap that you can, you know, use. So anyway, my sister's helping my mom outside with the pond, and they're doing everything. And all of a sudden, my sister, like, she's, I don't know, digging in the dirt, doing the pebbles, whatever. And she looks up into the oleander tree that my mom has. And because of all that cold winter that we had a few weeks ago, all the leaves are off of the tree. So my sister looks up and she's like, what the hell? And she's like, Mom, is that a purse strap holding that tree together? And my mom's like, well, yeah, it is. And then my sister says, is that a fucking Michael Kors purse strap holding that tree together? And my mom goes, yeah, it is, I guess. I don't know. And so my sister stands up. And she goes to the tree, and sure enough, it is the Michael Kors purse strap that goes with the purse that I gave my sister a year ago. So, of course, my sister comes into the house, and she's like, Christine, you're never going to believe what your hippie-ass mother did. And I'm like, what? Just lay it on me. What did she do? And she's like, she literally put that purse strap, remember I asked you about it like a few weeks ago? And I said, yeah. And I told you I never knew what happened to it. She goes, oh, wait, I know what happened to it. She said, it's holding the fucking tree together outside in the backyard. So I told my mom, I said, Mom, when you knew I was giving that purse to me, I said, you didn't think to say that it was the strap was holding the tree together? She says, oh no, I forgot about that. So that was my funny for the week, because my mom is such a hippie. She doesn't care that it has a label on it. Like, who the hell takes Michael Kors and holds a tree together?
Mama said it was gonna hold her tree together. She don't care if it was Michael Kors, Gucci, Fendi, whatever. My tree needs to stand, people. My tree needs to stand.
And that she's going to use whatever. She's going to
use whatever. So, tell your sister she was without a strap.
Her bra might be holding the other trees together. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. So, what's the funny thing happened to me this week? Okay. So, it also includes my sister. So, Saturday, we went out to have drinks, and my sister actually has been on this weight loss regimen. So, you know, you have to cut alcohol out when you want to dance, and you know, you want to not dance, but when you want to lose weight. So on Saturday, we decided to, because it was so pretty on Saturday, it was too pretty to be sitting inside. So we were like, let's just go hang out. So we did the crawfish, we went to the cigar bar. So we wound up going to a club at the end of the night. So this is where it gets tricky. So So we did a couple of shots. My sister really can't drink because she hasn't been drinking. So next thing you know, I'm looking, we dancing, the music feeling good. My sister then broke it down, baby. She's all on the floor. I'm like, OMG. I've seen her like that, but it's been a long, long time. I was like, well, she's going to need Tylenol in the morning. Because she was getting down.
The Bengay.
So that's my friend. She got it together. And I was like, oh, okay, you came out your shell a little bit, huh?
Y'all had a good time, though?
So that's my friend. Yeah, we all had a great time. Because, yeah, you know, because of COVID and all that, it's been a while since you've really been out to have fun. And just a little bit of normalcy was just good for just that day. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely. And, you know, just it kind of brings us into what we're going to talk about today, too. So many people's fears and just the anxiety around going out and just kind of getting out there. And today's topic, you know, we're going to talk about just the anxiety with not only chronic illness, but sometimes just illness in itself, when you're dealt with a diagnosis and what you have to deal with.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, anxiety is a big part, but anxiety plays a part with everything. And a lot of people don't realize that we don't know if we're having anxiety attacks. We don't know when anxiety starts, but certain little triggers in us have anxiety can trigger anxiety. Some people scratch their hair a lot. Some people scratch their skin and we just think we're itching, but it's really our anxiety that is flaring up. So this is a great topic to touch on because a lot of people don't really talk about anxiety. They think it's something, oh, I'm not going to say nothing because nobody else experiences it. But trust me, there's a lot of people out there with anxiety.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to talk about this with you today too. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about, are there any movies that... So, Alyssa, you brought up last week about Coming to America 2 being out, and I had no idea, and so I had to watch it. So tell me, did you watch it?
I sure did watch it. I caught up in with Zamunda.
What did you think?
I think it was excellent. I really did. I liked the fashion about it. I liked the dancing about it. I liked the people that they... I love seeing Salt and Pepper. I love seeing Gladys Knight. I just like seeing everything that was about the movie. So it was really good.
I thought they really did a great job. Like, honestly, you know, like sometimes when they bring out the second part of a movie, you're always like, okay, this can never be as good as the first one. But honestly, right, I think 30 years later, they did a wonderful job. Like you said, from the costumes, everything. They really did. It was funny as hell. Like, it really was.
It really was funny. I mean, it was great to see Eddie Murphy back on the screen. You know, you remember him as a child. You remember him with his stand-up. You remember him with all kind of stuff. And it was good to see him back on the TV. It was good to see, you know, the portrayals of, you know, I'm just saying, it was good just to see a lot of things on TV again that we, I'm going to give my age away, that I grew up with as a child. Because 30 years ago, when you saw that, it was fascinating. It was like, oh my God, you know, this, that. But now you see it again, it's really fascinating. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I laughed my behind off. And it was so funny because my parents and I, we had watched another movie right before that. And then we were on Amazon Prime and I said, oh my God, I forgot. Melissa told me about this movie. And I was like, we have to watch this. So we started watching it and we were laughing so much. Like, we really were.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it by myself. I went and got me some snacks. I went and got me a piece of cake, some ice cream, and a Plurine candy. So you knew I was on cloud high because all that sugar. And I sat there and I watched it. Just to say this, I did not eat all that in one setting. I
It's okay if you did. So I'm going to tell you, you know how you said you liked when Salt and Pepper came out? When Gladys came out, I was like, oh, yes, because that is one of my favorite songs. As a kid, my cousin and I, we always would do these little dances and like numbers. Like, did you do that as a kid? Did you like perform in front of your family, like dance numbers and sing songs?
Yes, we did. Yes, I did. I think we all did that as children.
What were some of your songs that you did that you danced in front of your family?
Speaking of song, probably we did Push It. Prince. We did Hands Off of Prince. Let's see. Remember this one? The Double Dutch.
Yes.
We had a performance off of that. I mean, I don't know. You just, music came on. Michael Jackson was the inspiration. So you got up and you just danced.
And you just did. You did these whole productions and your family had to watch. It was like you did these numbers and you had to dance.
Yes.
So I don't know.
My stepdad used to, I don't know if y'all used to do this on Fridays. I remember this on Fridays. Even if we had school, even if we didn't have school, it was the summertime, he would always go buy albums, like the newest album that came out for the, you know, and we would always have like these dance contests and my mom would fry fish and all that. So that's what I miss on, you know, that's what we did on Fridays. So I think Fridays and Saturdays are days where you're supposed to get out and enjoy yourself. And Sunday is the day you laid up. And I know this is not life like that, but I guess because I was brought up like that, I thought life was supposed to be like that.
Life is a
dance. I know about the word pump.
Yeah. But on Saturdays, my mom used to make us, well, not only did she make, first, this is how she would wake us up on Saturdays, is we had to have a fire drill. We used to have to, she would run around the house going ding, 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 ding. Like, and we would have to jump out of our windows, okay, and meet her on the corner. Because we had to be prepared if there was a fucking fire, okay? So, yes, that's the first thing we did on Saturdays is a fire drill. The second thing we did is we had to clean the house. I don't know about y'all, but Saturdays was like clean the house day. But the special part about it was she would put on Soul Train. So we would dance as we were cleaning the house. And that was our time.
Yeah, we had to clean up on Saturdays too. From stripping down the beds to wiping down walls. Yeah, we had to do that. That's why sometimes I'm like, I don't want to clean up because I'm so much as a child. So, yeah.
And I was dancing so much, you know, having so much fun. I danced right into the corner of the coffee table. I don't know what I was doing. I was probably doing like a twist turn. Who just shit knows? And I fell and I hit my eye on the corner of the coffee table. And so it started like pouring out blood. Who does she call? She doesn't call the doctor. Doesn't rush me to the hospital. This is back in the day. You know, we grew up in the 70s and 80s. Okay. Your mama didn't know rush you to the hospital. She called my uncle, who used to watch MASH, the TV show. So he comes running over to fix me up. And that's how, because he watched the show MASH. So that's how my eye got fixed up. But.
Yeah, so that's what my mom used to say, go take a Tylenol. And I'd be like, Tylenol don't care.
You know, I was going to tell you, back to old Gladys, it reminded me of all those dances. My grandparents were very, very religious. And so, very religious. My cousin and I, one time, we decided to do the first dance we did was to Midnight Train to Georgia. And so that's what the, you know, watching the movie, I had a giggle because I had to think of my cousin. And that was the first dance we did. Well, we were probably 10. And I guess we didn't realize the next song we did, and you brought up Prince. So I'm going to tell you, guess what Prince song we picked? No, we didn't pick no Purple Rain. The next song we picked that we danced to in front of my very religious grandparents was Darling Nikki.
I knew it.
At which point, my grandparents were just sitting there like, what the hell? I think that they punished. I remember being punished. I remember that we had to read the Bible. I mean, it was just horrible. So that's what coming to America reminded me of when I heard that song.
I could just see their faces when they hear, I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess she was a sex queen. And y'all just gyrating.
Pretty much. That's what was happening. That's what was happening, Alyssa. That's what was happening.
I could just see it. I could picture their faces. They probably turned red in the face.
They're probably turning in their graves right now as I'm telling the story. Like, yeah, we remember that.
Right.
Hey, Gabbers, have you ever heard of green light therapy? Well, let me tell you, NPR did an article on it a few years back and how it can help migraine sufferers decrease their migraine days. Who doesn't want that? You know, I was not a migraine sufferer when I heard of this article, but now I am. And I started using it way back then. But recently, I found Norb Lighting, and it has been a game changer for me. This is something that you need as part of your migraine toolkit. It has a special non-flicker light bulb, which that is great because sometimes those flickers can actually increase your migraine pain. It's non-invasive, so not another medication. It's, you know, inexpensive. And most of all, it's mood enhancing, which that is great for me. And it also increases some of your natural painkillers. So if you want to get 10% off, you can use my code, which is GBGHJ, and just go to www.norblighting.com.
All right, Alyssa, enough about that Darling Nikki. So what do you have for my fashion update? What is Alyssa's fashion update for the week?
So for those who did watch Coming to America, if you paid attention to the fashion, it was African attire, but it was updated African attire. So my update for this week is that each country has their own fashion forward situation, fashion forward things going on. But we should always, to me, mimic some of the cultures that we see on TV. And my fashion update is, let's start seeing a lot of more kente in our wardrobe. I mean, those outfits that come in America were nice. I mean, they were nicely put together with the jewels and the headpieces. So yeah, that's my fashion update for this week. Let's see some kente in our wardrobe. And don't forget that color, because it's a beautiful day and color makes us feel better.
You are so right about those outfits. And you know, one of the things that I liked is when, and I don't want to give the movie away, but there is one part in that movie when the son decides to become himself. And I loved his outfit. It freaking rocked. So you are so right about the outfits and just embracing. And you know, a lot of times I don't embrace necessarily who I am. And I do have Native American. I'm just like mixed. I'm from New Orleans right now. Lil Wayne's popping in my head, you know, born from New Orleans and all that shit. But I'm just like a mixture. I have Hispanic, I have Native American, everything. But sometimes I do feel my roots, and it's important to embrace those ethnicities and to be able to dress a certain way. So I agree with that.
We think fashion is basically what we see on TV and what we see in a magazine, and we always have to be, we follow the trend a lot instead of going outside of our box. So with the things in Coming to America, you know, I just thought that it was nice to see. These women were in beautiful long dresses, and even though it was long, it still was classy and it was put together nicely. They put those pieces together. They were gorgeous. Whoever was the set designer, they did a great job. So that's what I'm saying with fashion. We should step outside of our box.
Yes.
Now, we've been inside for almost a year and a half now. So when we are able to come outside again, we should step outside of our boxes. We should put more color. We should embrace our ethnic intensity in ourselves when it comes to fashion, instead of just saying, oh, I'm just going to be this and I'm going to be that and I'm going to be that. So that's what I mean by let's start embracing what we have instead of, you know, shutting away from it. So I think that's my fashion tip for us this week.
I love it. That's my whoosh to you. That's my heart whoosh to you, because that is so true. All right, Alyssa. So I'm going to tell you about my true crime update this week. And mine kind of leans more on anxiety and how people have actually found relief by watching true crime podcasts. Now, I know that might sound absolutely crazy, but there's an article about it that I found, and it's called Why Women Are Obsessed with True Crime. And I will put that in my Instagram. And as I was reading, I was like totally shocked, because it actually said that Black women are 3 times more likely to get murdered. Is that fucking crazy?
Another damn thing for us to worry about.
I know, another damn thing for you to worry about, right? To get stuffed in the trunk or something like that. I know. So,
get stuffed in the high blood pressure, 3 things. High blood pressure, diabetes, and now I'm a target for murder. Go
exactly.
Ahead.
I know. Can you imagine that? What the hell else you got to worry about nowadays? Right?
Right.
So, but they said that, so she quoted this woman called Margaret Atwood, and it says, men are afraid that women will laugh at them. Well, that's kind of true, because I laugh at them all the time, because men do some stupid ass shit.
Even if you like them, you're going to laugh at them because they're going to do some dumb shit. So,
Get over it. Put your big boy pants on and get over it. And then Margaret goes on to say that women are afraid that men will kill them. Well, I will definitely tell you, I'm always a fucking afraid of that. The other day, the AT&T guy came. He was only supposed to have to work outside, but then he knocks on my door and he says, I have to come inside and look at your modem. And I'm thinking, why do you have to look at my modem? You don't have to look at my modem. But apparently he did have to look at my modem. And I'm thinking to myself, well, first of all, it's like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the day, and I'm still in my pajamas. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm feeling judged because I'm in my pajamas, but that's beside the case, okay? He doesn't have to know why I'm in my pajamas at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I let him in the house, and then all of these thoughts are going through my head, like, I'm going to get fucking murdered. I know I am. So I have the phone in my hand with the Ring app open, so that way I can just hit the little exclamation point, which is where the alarm will go off. And then I'm thinking, first of all, I have a bulldog, but she is not going to be, she's not a security dog at all. She'll just lick you to death. That's about it. And if you give a rotisserie chicken, I'm a goner because, yeah, she's not going to do anything. Not going to do anything. One time, my ex-mother-in-law walked in the house and the dog literally just looked at her like, hey, how you doing? You can steal the whole fucking house and I wouldn't care. I mean, literally.
Just don't pick up the dog, go to the left, we good.
Exactly. So then I'm like, oh my God, I need to get dressed. I literally took my clothes and went out in the backyard to get dressed. Now, mind you, the neighbors probably saw me getting dressed in the backyard, but I thought this was much better than getting dressed in the house with the AT&T guy, because I was sure he was going to murder me. But it all goes back to this article, because watching true crime or listening to podcasts, just like My Favorite Murder, and yes, I'm a murderino, that is what we're called with this My Favorite Murder podcast. And it's like they say, fuck politeness. Because politeness and kindness and, you know, here you have this crazy guy that comes up to you, Ted Bundy. He was a fine ass man. He would come up to people and say, oh, I'm lost. Can you help me? Women would fall for that shit. And then guess what? He would fucking kill you. He'd rape you and fucking kill you. So if someone comes up to you acting lost or nice, don't believe them. And that's how women find themselves in these situations. So that's what the article is about. And it's about like how women, because we have, and again, even though Black women have a three times higher rate, women in general have a 15% higher rate of violent crime in general, like having violent crimes against them in general. So that is why we're addicted to this shit, is because I guess we feel like we're getting coping skills or mechanisms to make ourselves more, like put ourselves in that situation or make ourselves more alert to what could possibly go wrong. Maybe in a way empowering ourselves.
That is an empowerment. That is an empowerment because you know the signs to look for when you meet a crazy motherfucker. So you'd be like, oh yeah, he crazy. But that's a good thing. That is a real good, it's not nothing wrong to be a murder, what do you call yourself?
A murderino.
A murderino, because a lot of, I think I should be one now since I noticed Black women got a 3% rate about to get.
Three times as likely.
Yep, I need to become a murderino so I can protect myself.
My favorite murder, and remember, fuck politeness. That is what they say. And I tell my daughter that
I have resting bitch face, so that's probably, they probably won't bother me. I'm like, you have an app on, the Google app tells you how to get there, walking, riding, and on a bus. So no, I don't need to give you directions.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so true. And honestly, like I said, I will put the article on my Instagram links because it really is good. And it is, as women, that we have to be aware. I used to be one of those women that was horrible. I would get in my car and I would sit there and just play in my purse forever, you know, take my sweet ass time, not be so oblivious to what was going on around me. And now I'm not like that. Like, I get in my car, I hurry up, do what I need to do, and drive off, because you just never know what the shit's gonna happen anymore. And I tell you, I always have my keys prepared now, because I have my keys and I always hold them in a way that I promise you, if someone comes up to me, I am going to stab them in the fucking jugular or in the eyeballs with those keys. I promise you, I will. I did have one of those rape whistles up until a few months ago, and it was like this little heart-shaped glittery rape whistle, and you pressed it and it made this really loud noise. But one night I was walking from the hospital to the parking lot, and I was leaving work, and it was raining really bad, and so the whistle got wet. And when I got in the car, it got stuck on. And so my migraine was so bad as I'm driving and the whistle was going off, I had to throw that son of a bitchin' thing out the window because it wouldn't stop. And then a cop saw me throw it out the window and I'm like, oh my God, he's going to fucking stop me. And I'm going to have to say I had to throw the fucking whistle out the car because of my migraine. Thank God he didn't stop me, because that would have been a hell of an example to tell him what I had to do. So anyway, that's my true crime update for the week.
So that true crime story was very funny. So let's get into, since you talked about the true crime and with the anxiety part, about the anxiety part. So that's our topic today that we're going to discuss, is anxiety with people, period. Not just women, just the community. Because anxiety flows with everything that we do. Like, even when we start new jobs, even when we start new relationships, everything. So basically with chronic illnesses, it heightens. Our anxiety heightens because we don't know what we're going to experience every day when we wake up. So we're always, to me, on edge because we don't know. You don't know every symptom that you're going to have because it's not etched in stone that you're going to get all the symptoms of your chronic illness. So with that being said, I have a story about anxiety. I had just made 40. I'm telling my age. I had just made 40. And, you know, that's the year we get mammograms as women.
Right.
I was like, okay, time for me to go get my first mammogram. Went and got my mammogram. And the first thing I was already on a fence about going to get it done, but, you know, you got to get your boobs checked. So first thing when she come out, you're going to have a biopsy. I'm like, what?
Right.
Hello? So that just took my anxiety that I had through the roof. Through the roof. I had my first anxiety attack. And it's a kind of a funny story because I was at work and I had started breathing real fast and I had started falling on the floor.
That was a freaking panic attack, girl.
Right. So they took me to the ER. And at the time I was married, so they called my husband. And he came and he was like, you gotta calm fucking down. You gotta calm down. Everybody say you had, this is him. Them people say you had cancer. They say you just had to have a biopsy. So they took me to the back and the doctor told him, I'm going to give you something that's going to make you sleep. So he gave me morphine and a Valium.
Oh my God. Good night.
When I tell you, I was on cloud nine, maybe 10. But I was confused because I was the one with the anxiety. And I was like, well, why? How that's going to make him sleep better? But I guess that was just going to make me not bother him.
Right.
So, yeah. But needless to say, after I had that panic attack, anxiety, with all of it rolled up into one, it was benign. But just the fact of me knowing that I may have had something wrong with me just. And so after that, my anxiety went to 10. Every time I got an ache or pain, it was cancer. It's always cancer.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
and I think that's because that's what people fear is that the big C, the big cancer word, and that's where your mind goes.
Right. So when you talk about your murder mysteries, I think a lot of women fear when I'm dating, am I going to get murdered? That is your anxiety. When you talk about that, am I going to get murdered? Is he crazy? And what is, you know, he's so perfect. He has a job. His credit is good. Everything's so perfect about him. What's the problem? And that's why I think women do tend to go back to your murder scene, tend to watch that because those are the when you listen to what the murderers are, they are those men. They're the perfect man, but they wind up being the abusive man. So.
Now, do you still, when you go for your annual checks or whatever, do you still have that like anxiety towards that same diagnosis?
Every time I go for anything, I get a beep across my mind. You know, you can get your chart on your phone. And even if it's just telling me the results are in, my anxiety go up because I don't know what I'm going to see. And like last year when I got diagnosed with the intracranial hypertension, I was like, why do I even go to the doctor? Every time I go to the doctor, something wrong.
Right. Like,
so
what
it's
the hell?
Like, what the hell? Why should I? Every time I go to the doctor, I find out something new. But that's a good thing because you don't want to find out too late and then there's nothing you can do about it. But I'm like, so every time I go to the doctor, I have anxiety every time. It does not matter. Even if it's for my mama, my anxiety, huh?
Yeah.
Because it's not even for me. So I'm just saying, I mean, I feel that, you know, and a lot of people don't like to talk about anxiety because they think it's a myth or you just acting out. It's not. You really have these feelings and there's these things going on inside your head because you're constantly worrying about what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, anxiety is one of those things that, like, I know for me, mine is based around medications.
I have a big fear about medications, and that is because when I was 16 years old, it started off as I just had like a stomach virus. And at the time I was seeing a dermatologist. So, you know, you as a teenager, you go to the dermatologist. I think it was like for acne or whatever. And I had was getting, she was a dermatologist, like allergist. So I also was getting like allergy shots there. And so because I would go there weekly, I just had this stomach bug, and she just ordered me like some nausea medicine. So it's a common nausea medicine that people get, and it's Compazine. No big deal. Most people don't have reactions to it or anything like that. So I was taking it for like a full week, and all of a sudden, one day, now I'm a sophomore in high school, okay? So this is the time of your life. Imagine back when you were a sophomore. Kids are cruel, right? And you're in high school, you're in your classroom, and all of a sudden, it was like, first of all, at that time, I went to a school that was co-ed, because before that, I was in an all-girls school. So this particular year, that's a totally different story, but I went to a different school, and it was mainly jocks and everything. Like, so it was a very athletic school, which me, not athletic, don't even know why I went to this school. And so I'm sitting in the classroom, and they had a movie on that day. And I remember sitting in the classroom and we're watching the movie, and all of a sudden I felt my mouth doing this odd thing. And I remember, I can laugh about it now, but back then, like, it was scary as shit. And I started feeling my mouth like drop open, and my tongue was like rolling around and doing some weird shit. And all I can remember is this movie back in the day, and I don't even remember the name of the movie, but this woman in the movie was like making horse sounds. And that's how I felt. That is how I felt. So all of a sudden, I started getting this god-awful pain in my jaws. So by the end of this class, I was like, something's wrong. I go into the principal's office and I'm like, I need to call my mom. Something's wrong. So I call my mom. She gets my uncle to come pick me up. And I'm just like, in this point, like horrible, horrible pain. So we're thinking it's like my teeth, like something is going on with my mouth because it's all jaw pain. We go to the dentist, and the dentist, who I've seen for years, is like confused. And he's thinking, he calls my mom and tells my mom that my mouth is totally disfigured and that I need severe, massive, like, dental work. And my mom's like, what the hell? She's been seeing you for years. Like, this doesn't happen overnight. I think something's going on with, like, a medication. She just needs to get to her doctor. Like, can you just send her home? So long story short, by the time I get home, and my parents drive up to the house, at this point, my entire body is almost looking like I had a stroke. And it is contracted, okay? So again, imagine 16 years old, like you are freaking out. You know something's going on. And it's scary as shit. My mom and dad bring me to the doctor's office who gave me the medicine. And she knows immediately what it is, and it's called tardive dyskinesia. And so she gives me Benadryl, and what happens is that immediately, I guess because I was too far gone,